He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Kevin Ryan of Underwriting Laboratories went public a few years ago about internal studies that Underwriting Laboratories had underwrote the World Trade Center complex and Building 7. Internal reports that showed that fire really couldn't have brought down those buildings the way they fell. He got fired. Professor Stephen Jones, award-winning, seen as one of the leaders in the field of different types of fusion. I mean, you talk about right up there at the marquee level. Many published papers in the most prestigious journals. He's been public now for a few years on the fact that Building 7 and Tower 1 and 2 are clearly inside jobs, and has pioneered amazing research, and he's been attacked by a lot of the disinfo operatives and their fellow travelers and useful idiots and court jesters. But the point is, now Rosie O'Donnell is under massive, sustained attack. And they're openly saying on Fox, MSNBC, CNN that she needs to be ruined publicly for questioning the government, that that's un-American, that she hates the troops, she hates America. In truth, we know from behind-the-scenes sources that Rosie is completely freaked out, that Rosie is very upset, that she's done massive research, the postings. Now there's like 10 of them she's done on her blog about 9/11, about Building 7, with links to sites that Professor Jones is involved with. And sites that we're involved with, and she's quoted Terror Storm on her blog, word for word, on False Flag. We know she's done her research. I know some things that I'm not at liberty to talk about until she's ready to go public, but so much has happened. And they're trying to fire her. They're trying to get her removed, and then this will cause a chilling effect to shut down literally hundreds and hundreds of other prominent scientists, high-level brass in the military. They had 2 weeks ago a huge secret Hollywood meeting with some top Hollywood people, country singers, TV people. I mean, a lot of them at the very highest level about how they should go public. So the battle is joined, and this is one of the top news. This is bigger than Anna Nicole Smith diversion right now. This is real news. So we've started defendrosie.com with the petition there. That's gotten so many, it crashed today. We're re-uploading it, so you can also send your name to be added to the petition to defendrosie@infowars.com, and we'll get it posted up there. But somebody who knows about persecution is Professor Stephen Jones, and I know he's a winner, so he doesn't like to get into all the things he went with and how he was, and then they didn't claim any academic dishonesty or anything he'd done or any problems. They just said, hey, we'd like to pay you to leave, and he did that. And since I brought that up, you've been persecuted, but it hasn't worked, and that's a lesson here. You're a hero to this country. Can you just briefly tell us about Professor Stephen E. Jones, your history, recapping for stations that just joined us, and then what happened to you, and then now you've been contacted by Rosie's people. And, of course, you're such a gentleman, they wanted you on the show, and so you gave them the names of other physicists that have now gone public. Hopefully they'll have you and some of the other physicists on. Professor, just first off, tell us about yourself and what you've been through, your trials, your tribulations, kind of the Job chronicle that you went through.
Well, I appreciate that, Alex. Yeah, it's been been an interesting life, you know. I just turned 58, so I look back over the years, and my career really got started with muon catalyzed fusion as regards research. And right off the bat, we had a result, an experimental result, that defied the theory of muon catalyzed fusion. So then our experimental results were suspect, and I remember being roundly criticized by a professor at UC Berkeley, actually. I won't name him, but anyway, it turns out we were right, but it took other work and experimenters coming forward and saying, look, these muon-catalyzed fusion results are correct. And so, you know, I've been...
Even mainline encyclopedias cite you as the pioneer of that. Now, let's be clear. Right after you broke that, the disinfo came out with more blown-up results by others that couldn't be duplicated. You showed very small energy increases, but the point is you proved it's real. It's now confirmed that it's real. The problem is just capturing it.
And small, right. Now, that's that gets us over into metal-catalyzed fusion, which both of these areas are called cold fusion. That's why there's a confusion there, confusion. But, yeah, in the metal-catalyzed fusion, again, we had controversial results as far as the scientific community, but our results have been verified. And the problem, as you mentioned, is that it's just small. The effect is a small one, but it's very real. And we are working on some experiments to beef up, to increase the yield. I'm very interested in, of course, energy in general, getting us off the oil as much as we possibly can for various reasons. But fusion is very promising in that regard. It's just also very difficult to control fusion in terms of energy.
You've also pioneered some other areas of science.
Well, the metal-catalyzed fusion and the muon-catalyzed fusion, I was a principal investigator for the Department of Energy, actually, because I wrote the proposal and people joined me. By the way, there's some stories. There's always stories. And there was a group that tried to take away from me. That is, they wanted to be the leader. And this was actually a fellow at Los Alamos National Lab, who's now become a friend, but at the time he was trying to take the, he said, you know, we would like to lead this project. And I talked to, I was at the Idaho National Engineering Lab at the time, and they said, no, you wrote the proposal. You don't have to let them take the lead on it. You have that right as having originated the research. So it worked out in the end. I did retain the leadership. But,
well, I would say that, I mean, despite your pioneering energy developments, I think you're pioneering on exposing 9/11.
That's been quite an experience there. That is just amazing, the amount of flack I've had. I mean, I had some flack on muon and then metal-catalyzed fusion, but nothing like the flack I've had on 9/11 research. But, you know, again, it's the same thing. I have these observations. I'm not just going to deny them just because somebody thinks they're unpopular. I'm not a U.S. hater. I love the United States. That's offensive to me when people say you must be a U.S. hater to talk about these things.
Well, in fact, it's the very people destroying the Bill of Rights and Constitution that is the heart and soul of this republic. They're the ones that carried out 9/11.
Well, that's the problem. Yeah, that's surely the indication that I get from these data. And, you know, my area, Alex, is looking primarily at the hard physical evidence. And I would like to talk about some of that, which I will be talking also at the meeting there in Austin.
That's right. I can't wait for you to get to meet my wife, hopefully sometime Saturday and Sunday while you're here. I can take you out to dinner. There's going to be a big event that we haven't even talked about yet, folks, next weekend, not this weekend, but next weekend in Austin. But before we run out of time, because I'm sitting you down rabbit trails, Professor, let's go back now. And you gave me some interesting news. I know a few weeks ago we had tried to give your info to Rosie's people. I'm not saying that's what triggered this, but you did get contacted.
Yeah.
Tell us about this exciting development.
Well, sure. So a person from Rosie's team contacted me by email, and of course I had heard just that very morning that Rosie had gone public. Was it on a blog or something? But anyway, she had talked about her concerns about 9/11 and voiced this interest in having a physicist on her show. Well, there are a few of us now, physicists, that have come out and studied and written and talked about 9/11 as an inside job, based on evidence. And so I wrote back to them and said I would be glad to appear, and I named two other physicists who I trust now who could also appear.
And tell folks the names of those individuals.
You bet. The other physicists, and both of these have written in the Journal of 911studies.com, so I'll put a plug in for that journal because it represents solid research. And these are Professor David Griscom, G-R-I-S-C-O-M. He's a fellow of the American Physical Society. I was so pleased to see his.
We're not going to find the Marvin Martian proponents over there.
No, you won't. David
Griscom. Oh, dear.
And the other one. The other one is Greg Jenkins, PhD, a young PhD, lives out in the Washington, D.C. area, part of the D.C. 9/11 Truth Group out there, very, very good scientist as well.
So yeah, they contacted you, and she's been back from vacation in a week and a half, and they're saying that they want to get you on the show?
That's what they said. Now, of course, they said something like, we need to get permission from the, broadcaster, ABC or something like that. So it's still tentative.
Well, exactly, and that's where I can bring in some new information. But I almost talked about this yesterday, but I got to be careful. I can't let out too much.
Yeah, sure.
But I'm going to think about it and try to form my words. When we get back from break, I'm going to add a little bit more to this, just a little bit more. And I'm just going to leave it at that. Because I don't want to endanger some of the other big things that could be happening.
Right.
I tell you, if somebody would have told me 10, 15 years ago I'd be doing this now, I'd tell them they were nuts. Do you ever feel the same way?
I mean, I'm just amazed, too. But to me, it's the data. Oh, man, we got some data this week, Alex, that just blew me away. And the student I was working with, we're sitting there, wow. I'll talk to you about that. I don't mind talking to them about that, but...
Well, I guarantee you that they don't want to have an award-winning physicist like yourself or other physicists up there. Tell us a little bit about these other two physicists.
Well, let's see. Greg Jenkins is a young PhD, Maryland, University of Maryland, as I recall, at College Park out there. And he's written a paper. Actually, he took on this, Star Wars beams idea, and he went through and did calculations and showed that that idea just won't work in terms of energy balance. In other words, it takes too much energy and power to run.
Well, also you would visually see the event. Stay there. We'll be right back. All right, we did get the petition back up and working. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of people that have signed. This went up late last night, and we started the website, defendrosie.com. It's going absolutely gangbusters. Keep pushing it. Get it out to everybody. Get that URL out to everybody. Get the article Paul Watson wrote out to everybody. This is a call to action. You're doing a fabulous job. Let's redouble our efforts. At the same time, O'Reilly has been plugging this ABC News poll, we learned, against Rosie, and he was winning it. But now people learned of it, and it's neck and neck. It was like 7,000-something votes for Rosie, 7,000-something for O'Reilly. And the neocon websites are all linked to it, saying vote her down, that she's bad and that Bill O'Reilly's good. We need to defeat it. Bill has 7,266. She has 7,095. 2,125 said they find her annoying. Get up there and vote now. How do you find the link? PrisonPlanet.com. And again, we never talked about Anna Nicole Smith. We never talk about O.J. Simpson. We never talked about Michael Jackson. We don't talk about Hollywood stars and these people. We're talking about this because she's got courage. She's gone public. We know behind the scenes, and I'll go ahead and talk about this and then go back to Professor Stephen Jones and your calls. We know behind the scenes she's very upset. She's done her research. And she has, I'm just going to say this, been meeting with 9/11 victims, and she's been reaching out to experts, and she's known about this for a while. And she's been doing her homework, just like Charlie Sheen did, and she just can't keep her mouth shut. If you've got any soul, and please don't judge her for some of the things in her personal life, none of us are perfect. She's silly, and she's been ignorant in the past, but she's got guts, and guts is enough. And I mean, how many of you have done things that aren't too good? How many of you have been wrong about politics and issues? She knows about the New World Order now. She knows about globalism. She's gotten the big picture, okay? I actually have talked to three different people that know her, that have met with her. She's been given my material. She knew about my material. Last week, she quoted Terror Storm, folks. You know, the part where I talk about false flags? She quotes the script, the voiceover of Terror Storm for a full paragraph. I'm not going to say too much about it. It's just that I know some other really riveting and important stuff, but this is such an important fight. They're trying to set this chilling effect. Professor Jones, can you speak in defense of Rosie or add your point? As you've gone through being blackballed, being attacked, being demonized, how important it is to stand up for whistleblowers or for people that have the type of courage that Rosie's had?
It's very important, Alex. And, you know, I voted on those polls myself and to support Rosie, of course, and I'd be glad to be on her show, whatever I can do to help bring out these truths. I had a professor yesterday, actually, here tell me that my being, well, put on leave had a chilling effect. That was his word, too, a chilling effect on some of the people around here who've been interested in this same subject. So, yeah, there's a, it does seem to be definitely a concerted effort. When somebody stands out and speaks out, they're knocking them down.
Well, at least
and,
they
know,
haven't.
Charlie Sheen, too. So,
well, exactly.
You know.
I mean, at least they haven't locked you up like they did Galileo for 7 years. Sorry.
Right.
Go back to Charlie
well,
Sheen.
That's
sorry.
Right. No, you're right there. I'm really glad that I'm able to keep researching and publishing, and it's what I like to do, of course, is to study things, to get to the bottom of matters using hard physical evidence wherever possible.
Well, you know, now they're talking about outlawing, saying global warming isn't real, because the majority of the real climatologists and ice core specialists and folks that study the Arctic are saying that this isn't true, that carbon dioxide, and this conclusive, comes after the warming, and that plants breathe more of it, and it creates more oxygen, more plankton, more fish, and that actually we are in an oxygen-poor environment compared to what we've been previously, and that carbon dioxide is not a pollutant.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another issue. It's you know, it's time for scientists to realize that when they speak out, it's going to make a difference. But we've got to stand up and speak out, even if we get some opposition. You have to expect that. I mean, my greatest hero, Alex, is Jesus. You know, he had a lot of opposition. And this quick story comes to mind, if I could. A friend of mine was talking about Jesus saying, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites." And someone in class raised their hand and said, "Wait a minute, that's not Christian. That's not Christian to attack, you know, these are the nation's leaders. How could anybody do that?" And the teacher paused and he said, "Well, this is Jesus Christ himself. He defines what is Christian," you know, so, I feel, that's
amazing.
Way. Yeah. So, you know, we do need to speak out, and it's time for scientists, and we're realizing that, you know, there's been some stifling. And
well,
I'm so glad to see people speaking out, like Rosie and like Professor Griscom and Jenkins and others now, Kevin Ryan and so on, speaking out on 9/11. You know, there's hundreds now.
Well, look at how they put Charlie Sheen through the ringer. They've called for Mark Cuban funding Loose Change Final Cut to be sent to prison. In fact, on MSNBC on Scarborough Country, they said they wanted Rosie to be murdered.
Yeah, wasn't that something, that guy? Man, alive. I don't know why they didn't... get him prosecuted. You know, he ought to has to have some accountability for.
I bet money, like, if you or I went on national TV and said somebody needs to be killed, we'd get a visit from the cops.
Oh yeah, we'd be right away put in the lockup. Absolutely.
Now you've got some new developments.
I do. Yeah, I would like to talk about these a bit. I alluded back in February to some of these at the Arizona conference, but these are the metal spheres that are found in the World Trade Center dust. Now, others have noticed this. In particular, USGS talks about these metal spheres, but I found one back in January that was a millimeter. It's about a 1/16 of an inch just with my naked eye. Now we have gone in, got some cooperation of a lab with an electron microscope to look at these spheres and to look at the elements inside of these spheres. This is just amazing. First of all, to form a droplet, Alex, it requires a liquid. I mean, many of these are nearly perfect spheres. As you look, I'm looking at them here on my screen from the electron microscope. So you form a liquid, and then surface tension pulls it into a sphere, and then as this material travels through the air, metal, it hardens and retains that spherical shape. So the shape alone is telling us with the metal content.
So you're finding previously molten spheres.
That's exactly right. So you got the point. Previously molten metal, And we're looking inside, comparing the contents with World Trade Center steel, with aluminum alloy, and with thermate residues. Thermate also produces these spheres. I have electron microphotographs of those as well. So, in other words, photos with an electron microscope. So you have these spheres formed, you know, of course, we've talked about thermate. And a lot of people have looked at that interview you and I had, by the way, Alex, on thermate. Well, this adds to it. So in the dust itself, we have this information. And, you know, I just have to thank Jeanette McKinley for saving that dust and letting me have a sample of it. Because the origin of these spheres, I mean, it's like locked up information. How did these form? Where did you come from? Well, you interrogate them using what's called EDX. You look at an individual sphere. You say, what are you made of? What's your composition? Where did you come from? And using X-ray methods then, it tells you. And it's hard to explain over the radio. I think maybe it's better if I reserve the actual contents.
Doesn't it just create a spectrum of a graph of the different elements and combinations that it's made up of?
Exactly.
Okay, what did you find then?
Okay, I'll tell you some, but I want to hold most of this for the UT Austin.
I understand you also want to have it all published and put it out correctly, but just give
okay.
us a...
All right, I'll give you the bottom line. In these spheres, we are seeing, of course, iron. We expect that. But already, though, you know, that's over 2,700 Fahrenheit to melt this iron. In addition, Alex, we see aluminum, significant quantities of aluminum and sulfur. And, you know, when I saw this, these data, I just go, man, that's just what we expect. And we see the same elements in the spheres from thermate. By the way, aluminum.
Unbelievable. So this is, I mean, you look at what can cause the steel to melt and the
right.
and the clear 45 degree angle cuts. Then
right.
you find thermate. Then you find out that there is the explosive type used for cutting, patented. Then you get multiple samples from different sites around the country. And you do have the custody chain on that, then that matches what your hypothesis was.
In other words, it's all just dovetailing.
And it just continues, and then you get the video from multiple choppers and on the ground of molten metal pouring out like water out of the towers. And then meanwhile, Fox News says that fire melts steel. They don't say what degrees. Well, they can say it weakens it, but it certainly doesn't turn it into aerosolized globules.
That's exactly right. These are tiny droplets of the order of 10, 50 microns. Of course, the one I saw was 1,000 microns, a millimeter across. So you get all sizes. And you
doesn't that tend to take some type of gaseous injection during the formation that's spewing these out? I mean, even if you saw steel brought to a melting point, you know, in a foundry, you normally don't see huge spews of little circular globulets flying out. I mean, does that fit in with the explosive reaction?
Well, it does. Let me point this out. With thermate, you can tailor this stuff. Ultra fine is explosive, and then you get lots of little droplets. What we found is we used fine powders of aluminum and iron oxide. We added potassium permanganate, and that gave us a lot of droplets in the air, too. So let me mention one other thing we did recently, Alex. And, you know, things are just coming along so rapidly. If you take ordinary thermite, then you get molten steel at a white hot temperature over 2700 Fahrenheit, and it flows. And I've got a picture of this. And then if you let it drop on sand, typically is what we do in our demos here, you can pick up the white, yellow, white hot iron, the residue, with tongs, because, I mean, it solidifies at around 2700 Fahrenheit. Now, the next thing we did then is to add sulfur. I said, let's add a lot of sulfur. We put about 15% sulfur in with the thermite. Now it becomes thermate. And just as expected, this stuff stays liquid. So even at orange hot temperature, it's still liquid. Now that's a very important point because I've had, well, for instance, Judy Wood, you know, said, well, how could you get the iron to flow at orange hot? The answer is with sulfur added. It's a good question. But you know, there is an answer. And the answer is that when sulfur is added to iron, it makes a eutectic and it flows.
And by the way, you have this confirmed by FEMA in this report saying they had very unusual sulfidation.
That's exactly right. Good point, Alex. I like to bring that in, too. WPI did a measurement on the steel. They found sulfidation, high temperature sulfidation, and they couldn't explain where that sulfur came from. In their paper, you know, they published that. They said, well, here it is, but we don't know how to explain these high temperatures and then the sulfur attacking the steel in this way and doing sulfidation, which weakens the steel, of course, and melts it. And so all of these facts are confirming very strongly the use of thermite. The other point there is that NIST, you know, should have looked for high temperature accelerants. This is a crime scene. It involved fire. The code, the NFPA 921 code, requires that they look for thermite. It's spelled out, thermite, look for it. Well, they didn't. They said, well, we didn't look for thermite residues in the steel. And I'm saying, well, you know, that's part of the requirement. That's the code. And hopefully they will correct their inaction on that. I shouldn't be the only one that has to, not that I'm the only one, but I mean, it should be NIST and FBI doing this, setting this. It's a crime scene, and there's definitely now evidence for the use of aluminothermics, as we call it, thermite.
And so the science continues to concur and stack up. This is a
very much.
And, of course, you'll obviously have video, photos, slides, and be able to show photographs. And that's coming up next weekend, April 14th and 15th. Not this weekend in 2 days, but the week after. Here in Austin, Texas, the last time we had just a three-hour event that I spoke at the University of Texas a few months ago, and 1,000 people showed up. They had to turn away hundreds. I've been asking how many this holds, and I believe we're going to have the gentleman on from PNAC, Project for New American Citizens, .org, that is a takeoff on PNAC, Project for New American Century, and this is going to be starting next Saturday at 11 a.m. going until in the evening, and then it's going to be on Sunday from 10 a.m. until the evening, and I've been asked to MC it, but I already had to do interviews with NBC News that's coming then for a two-hour documentary. They're going to kill two birds with one stone, also interview Jones then. So there'll be a few MCs, and I don't like to hog things. And so I'll be speaking Saturday night. Have they told you when you're speaking, Professor Jones?
Yeah, Saturday evening also. Okay. In fact, I think I follow you, which is I did that in Chicago, you remember.
You're going to do a great job. What are you talking about?
Well, thanks. It's hard. It's hard to follow.
Okay,
Alex.
Well, then I'm done at 7:10 then, so you'll be on at right after 7, probably 7:30 or so.
Right after.
And, folks, this is the University of Texas, RM, Burdine 106, Dean Keaton University. We're going to get a banner up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com with this. It's PNAC Citizens, just PNACitizens.org, and it's sponsored by Brave New Books of Austin. Protest the Empire, 5 p.m. at the main mall, UT Tower. So I guess it goes late on Saturday, ends early on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to scurry off and do my Sunday syndicated radio show. So it's going to be jam-packed. Come all, and please especially come for the protest demonstration that's going to be on Sunday, even if you can't make it into the hall. I don't know how many this hall holds, but I've got a sneaking suspicion with even really no promotion that it's going to be gangbusters. So I can't wait to see Professor Jones here in Austin, Texas, deep in the heart of the resistance, coming up next week. All right, we're going to jam in some phone calls for the professor on the other side. Maybe keep him 5 minutes in the next hour. Then we got William Rodriguez joining us and the PNAC boys as well. By the way, there have been 21,000 signatures Big John. And that's why it crashed the system. Last night it was a couple thousand. I went to bed, it was crashed this morning, but people were able to sign up. You just couldn't see the petition. They went and retrieved it. 21,000 at defendrosie.com. We've got links to up on infowars.com and prisonplanet.com. 21,000, and I don't know, it was up like, we ended up posting it at about 10 o'clock last night or so. I don't know, maybe 9. And so you're talking about like 12 hours or so, and it's got 21,000 or 14 hours or so, 21,000 signatures. The neocons with their Fox News show only have a few thousand. They're like, shut her down, get her on, get her. 21,000 plus signatures. Keep signing. We're going to send them all to ABC News. Don't forget Terror Storm. It's free on Google Video, but if you want the high-quality DVD and to support what we're doing here, get the History of Government-Sponsored Terror, Terror Storm, at InfoWars.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139. I had my whole call list here, and it just erased in front of me. Who's up first here for Professor Jones? Richard in Texas, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello, Alex. A couple of things. One, I wanted to mention that on the Jon Stewart show on Comedy Central earlier this week, he spent a very serious, approximately 2 minutes, going through false flag terrorism and saying that it's clear that these false flag events have taken place in the Middle East, and that makes me wonder what else has gone on that is.
Wait a minute, wait a minute.
There.
See, that's another huge, giant
that
headline.
Is.
What day did Jon Stewart say this?
I'm pretty sure it was Monday night, Alex.
Monday night. Hold on. That's another massive. See, folks, we're missing everything.
And he was serious. That's a comedy show, but he didn't crack a smile during that, and it was like 2 minutes long.
So it was like during his little comment section.
Yes.
See, that's a massive headline. Jon Stewart goes public on government-sponsored terror or on false flag. I'm getting Paul Watson on right now. We did this with the Building 7 when a listener alerted us that BBC had reported. Paul, we've got a caller, and he sounds credible, just like last time a caller told us about BBC reporting Building 7 had fallen before it did. We just got a call saying Jon Stewart did 2 minutes on false flag terror Monday night. You got to find that. Paul, what's the main email for folks who can help find it and get it to you? Watson at prisonplanet.com, or they can post it in the general comment section to help you, okay? Get on it right now. Launch the operation. I'll see you. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah. Professor Jones was commenting. Would you like to comment on this, sir?
Oh, I think it's great. There's all these revelations. It's hard to keep up with them, but go ahead.
One other quick thing, Alex. There has been some pictures posted about a week ago, roughly, on the Rents website that showed cars and fire trucks and all that sort of thing along FDR Drive, which is quite a distance from the World Trade Center complex. And these things were melted in weird ways. And I'm not trying to promote any kind of a beam technology, but I'm wondering if you guys have seen that in any comments.
Yeah, I've seen that, and I've seen explanations for it. Professor Jones?
Excellent question. And there is two papers in the Journal of 911 Studies that talk about this and show that this is consistent with thermite damage to cars, and then later these cars being towed to FDR Drive because that's where they were going to be put on a.
Yeah, that's the intel carrier. I've seen is this is days after, and the streets obviously for months had dust, and they've hauled them out, and you can see that.
Right.
But then again, there's a lot of disinfo going on.
Yeah, be careful about that. But there's some good papers that discuss that thoroughly in the journal. Look for James Gourley and Greg Jenkins. Those two papers talk
Professor
about
Professor Jones is going to be here in Austin, Texas next week. We've got the young men coming on right now. They'll talk to Professor Jones. And then I don't want to twist his arm too bad. I almost want to keep him on with Willie Rodriguez so we can take calls then. But we're going to move quick on the other side.
If you would like a copy of this show, come to GCNLive.com and reserve it today. Or call toll-free 877-300-7645.
Our terrorist cells are prime terror targets located near you. Where are military bases and hazardous waste sites located? How do you find the best area for solar, average rainfalls, fish contamination advisories, and major transportation routes? In the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA, you will find the information you want with over 50 interactive parameters that you control. Find everything from housing prices and taxes to brewing environmental catastrophes. Locate billion-dollar disaster-prone areas, the safest cities, ideal solar locations, and much, much more. Complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution, full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis that you need. Get this hard-to-find information by ordering Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping and handling by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Tens of thousands of people are on the website, defendrosie.com, links to it on infowars.com and prisonplanet.com. We've got Matt Dayton and others from Project for New American Citizens joining us. The big event coming up next week at UT Austin, which we're going to find out how many people it really seats. They better try to get a bigger room. I mean, you could probably get 3,000 people in there. I mean, if I don't even promote something and 1,000 show up and they turn away a couple hundred, this is going to be a three-ring circus. But I don't want that to discourage you from coming because they got a bunch of other rooms, I'm told, and we'll give you the tales. William Rodriguez will be with us for the rest of the hour. We're almost out of time, real fast, let's get to Kyle in Iowa. You're on with Professor Stephen Jones. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
Oh, good. Okay. Wow. Okay. I just want to make one point, and I don't know if I've ever heard you make this point before, but for a lot of people who doubt that fire could have melted these things, I want to point out one thing. These engines that are in these airplanes, if they're made out of steel, how do they make these transcontinental flights over and over with little or no maintenance?
That's a good point. And also, even your wood-burning stove and kerosene stove. Jet fuel is a type of kerosene. I have a kerosene stove, and it's a steel, and I'm not worried about that puppy melting, you know, anytime soon. So, no, you raise a good point. Even jet engines don't melt. Yeah.
Right. Well, I've been doing some research on this myself, and I noticed that that it was saying that on an open-air burn, actually, of or an uncontrolled burn of jet fuel, it's roughly going to be between 5 and 600 degrees Fahrenheit. Which
yeah, when we say 1,800, that is the maximum with air injected in a turbo condition. Okay.
Right, or like liquid oxygen or something like that.
Professor, you want to comment on that?
Yeah, those numbers are reasonable. And remember, to melt steel would require right around 2,800 Fahrenheit. 1538 centigrade is typical for structural steel. So you're nowhere near the temperatures. And NIST, to their credit, does point that out. But then, how do they explain this molten metal seen pouring out of the South Tower just minutes before its collapse? Well, they're hard put. They do talk about aluminum, and I've shown that aluminum is silvery, I and others. And but now
it also cools quickly and flakes and turns white. This stuff staying yellow for its whole drop down.
A long drop, absolutely, yellow and red. And then also now we've got these droplets in the dust, mingled in with the dust, these spherical metal droplets that have solidified. Man, that just contains so much information. It's like the
because it proves it isn't aluminum. You've got the steel droplets.
It is, yeah. Now, it's not. I wouldn't call it steel either, although I understand the term, Alex, but these are, it's a mixture.
It's an alloy.
It's what you see in thermate residue, which gives you droplets also. So that's what I'll be showing at UT.
Is alloy the proper term? I mean, it's a mixture of things?
It's a mixture of metals. It's fairly, it's what you get with thermate. You get these droplets that form, and I'm talking about thermate with potassium permanganate added. I'll show you why later in UT Austin. But anyway, the point is you get these droplets and they contain the information of where they came from as you look at these then and interrogate with x-rays.
Well, this is unbelievable. I can't wait to videotape your presentation and get it up on the web immediately once you get to town and give the presentation next Saturday night, Professor. God bless you and Godspeed. And I hopefully after the presentation we can sneak off and I can take you guys to dinner.
Yeah. Let me just throw in one thing, Alex. Since this is at the University of Texas, I would invite physicists to come and see this. I mean, I'd look at this as a scientific colloquium. I'll be a little more technical on this one than I have, at least in part, because I want to get into these data and show the spectra.
Well, you won't have me interrupting, and you'll have visual aids. And I know that Matt and others involved with the student group are inviting all of the engineering staff and the science staff. Professor, thank you so much for spending time with us.
Great. Thank you, Alex. Always a pleasure.
God bless. See you next week. We'll be right back with William Rodriguez and, well, he's an amazing individual. He's William Rodriguez, and riding shotgun with him for this segment is going to be Matt Dayton, another amazing individual who heads up a student group on UT that's had, I don't know, 10, 20 big demonstrations with hundreds of people, had an event that I was at that had over 1,900 in there, hundreds that tried to get in, and got covered by the newspapers and TV and stuff. They've had other events with 400, 500 people. They've got one coming up next week with Stephen Jones, Webster Tarpley, myself, and others. I'm going to be emceeing part of it and speaking. That's all coming up. I was thinking they ought to try to get Willie in, but he's so busy. My big concern is that I'm told the hall only holds 550 people, but there's side rooms next to it that I guess they might be able to put TVs in. Matt, I'm going to tell you right now, and I know you guys got this hall booked before you had the other event, so you didn't know how big this would get, not tooting my horn, but if this show is promoting it, with all our great listeners out there that really do the promoting. Matt Dayton with Project for New American Citizens. What are we going to do here? Because if we do promote this, it's going to go supernova, but then if we say, oh, it's going to go supernova, then people won't come because they think they won't be able to get in. Regardless, Sunday there's the demonstration down town, so everybody should come to that, bottom line, and there's going to be some other events around town. But Matt, fill us in on what's happening.
Okay, well, thanks for having me on, Alex. And yeah, I mean, the biggest room that we could get was this Burdine 106 room. The room that we had you in, which was the ballroom, we could not get that booked. That gets booked way in advance. We just lucked out when we got you in there. So what we're going to try and do is, you know, we're going to have the conference. It's going to be 2 days. I have a feeling people aren't going to want to stay the entire day for both days, so that's going to hopefully help us out with the numbers. And then we're going to have some spillover rooms in order to either try and broadcast live what's happening in the main room, or if we have some of our speakers who are willing to maybe give another lecture in that those other rooms, or in that other room that we have. So
how big's the other room?
It'll be probably around another 100 or a couple hundred.
Okay.
So, I mean,
you know what's going to happen? All these people are going to show up, and UT's pretty nice, at least their staff are. They're probably going to accommodate, and they're going to open more up.
Okay, yeah, I mean, we're doing the best we can with the, you know, what we've
got. Are you
got.
Kidding? No, you guys are super. You're my heroes. I love how you're taking action, taking the bull by the horns, getting involved. I'm just, for Stephen Jones coming in alone, you'd probably get 800 people. With me, you know, not even promoting it, 1,000. With Tarpley, hundreds and hundreds. People love Tarpley. You've got more people. Just make darn sure I got a couple seats saved for my camera guys. This is going to be awesome, my friend. This is going to be great. But we want everybody to come because the kicker here is this thing's free, isn't it?
Yes, it's free. We wanted to... we wanted to make this free because we wanted to encourage as much people or as many people who aren't necessarily interested in the topic. So we didn't want to discourage, you know, people who are fence sitters because we know we would get a bunch of people who love Stephen Jones and who are totally on board with this information. But we wanted to try and do something to get more people, and that's hopefully what we'll do. We do have the option of we know people really want to come to this event, so we've made it the option that you can reserve a spot and make sure you'll get a spot the whole time if you donate $30 or more just as a sort of means to have people guarantee a spot if they're concerned about that at all.
That's right, and you guys are having to pay for the flying the people in.
Yeah, Brave New Books is basically our sole supporter, so we are asking for donations from our listener or from people who are going to come to the event, and also just basically the
Matt, are you kidding? Now that you've said people can reserve it, you're going to have 550 reserved in 2 minutes.
Well,
give out the contact point for that.
On our website at pnacitizen.org, you can donate there and see the tentative schedule of the speakers that we're going to have for Saturday and Sunday. So,
well, it's going to be amazing, and I can't wait to see you there, and I appreciate you coming on with us. Give out the website again.
It's pnacitizen.org, so that's PNACitizen, so pnacitizen.org.
Okay, well, it's going to be big, and I appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, thank you, Alex.
All right, let's go to William Rodriguez, who I appreciate joining us today. By the way, we're now carrying his new film. It's a compilation of the unbelievably strong presentation he gave at the 9/11 Neocon Agenda Symposium in June of last year, shot with, I believe, five cameras. Two of it's our shots, then three other cameras he had. And just an amazing presentation. In fact, I meant to edit it together and put it out, never had time. I'm glad he did. We're now carrying that, and it's available on the online shopping cart at Infowars.com. He is the last civilian survivor of the towers. He went up with the key to open the different landings and doorways with the police and firemen. And he's just an amazing individual. And oh, I meant to send this to the network for when he came on. I forgot to send the clip. I'll go find the YouTube clip and get it up to the network, because this is an example all over TV where he goes. When he gets ready to say, and then there were explosions with bombs going off, they cut it and go, there were explosions, and then they cut and say, then the plane caused the explosion. Very deceptive. And again, just an amazing individual, and we're honored to have him. William, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me. That's very important that you mentioned that, because I found that clip because of the amount of presentations that I did on September the 11th last year. I haven't been able to digitize everything. And when I saw that, I was like so appalled by the manipulation and the editing of the content just to fit what their views are. You see how cleverly they cut on the right moment, and everybody knows the story out there. And they just go into establishing that it was a plane, what I heard first. It's just so funny because they cut the whole sentence out. And you see, even though they did a nice profile in the general clip, you see that it did fit whatever they wanted to put out there. But the real A story was never out. It's incredible. And this is ABC News. And that shows you how they choose and pick whatever they want.
We posted a clip a few days ago on PrisonPlanet.com when you sent it to us.
Yeah, they can go to YouTube and type William Rodriguez ABC and they will get it.
Okay, then let me just tell the network, William Rodriguez ABC. And it just starts with Willie at ground zero, and he's sitting there going, and then there was a big explosion, and they cut and go, and the plane hit. What did you really say?
I said there was a huge explosion that pushed us upwards, and at that moment I felt it was a bomb or something explosive like that blew up under the basement. And then when I went to verbalize it, I heard the impact of the plane all the way on the top. They cut all that part. They just use whatever they want just to put out. You see, it has been an experience for the last 5 years how they have taken my story and they have manipulated. Actually, I am putting together hours and hours. We're talking about hundreds of hours of interviews that I've done and digitizing them all at once to be able to put it out there so people will see that, been telling the same story from the very beginning, and people keep manipulating the whole thing.
Well, some folks will go get the news that's cut you up and then say, oh, well, Willie didn't say. In fact, the neocons do that.
Well, they have done Willie, that. They have done that.
Willie said a plane hit it. And no, it's the reporter.
Constantly.
It's
they
the reporter.
Say that constantly. Yes. Oh, he didn't say this, or he didn't mention that, or he said one thing and then he said another thing. You know, they manipulate that for their own needs, just to debate me. But they don't debate me directly. Say, if you want to get the real stuff, get the real raw footage from the networks. You will never get it.
I want to get back into this. We're going to get the clip. We're going to play it coming up today in about 10 minutes or so. We'll have it. We'll play it. But before we go to break, Willie, let's get into 9/11 Truth itself. I know you can't say too much, but Rosie O'Donnell, all the things that are happening, where do you see this going? I mean, are you seeing the same thing I'm seeing? This is make it or break it. We're exploding exponentially, but they're trying to set the precedent by getting her fired?
They are trying to make her not only an icon of the negativity that is out there. They are attacking her. They are calling for her death, basically, on national television, and these people are not being prosecuted. They are hypocrites because they have attacked this woman for just asking questions. All she did was ask questions. I definitely 100% support Rosie O'Donnell. I have written directly to the producers of the O'Reilly Factor. They have not called me back. They won't want me to be on the show because, you know, how do you get a survivor, a person that was inside the building, to support Rosie? The show will be amazingly on our favor. You see, they don't want that. They don't need that. They want to attack. They are so nervous. They are so they are checking on
you can see the fear. You can see the fear, can't you?
Oh, yes, definitely.
I'm seeing fear in their eyes, aren't you?
Oh, well, you know, what I've seen here from the very beginning is what I've been seeing for the last four and a half years. But now I feel that they are so nervous that the truth is coming out that they want to attack anybody that comes out. You see, the people that have been out, like you, me, other survivors, firemen, they don't attack them. They don't even acknowledge our existence because we've been at it from the very beginning. But
well, it's
all these new people.
It's also the key to them to keep the illusion going that the firemen and police and heroes like William Rodriguez are all buying into the Al-Qaeda did it story. Does it ever make you sick? And I want you to answer this after the break, Willie, because it makes me sick, and I'm not a hero like you are on 9/11. It makes me sick to see them wrap themselves in the dead, wrap themselves in the people that the military-industrial complex killed, and then claim that all the victims agree with them when Bill Doyle, who lost his son Joey, says the majority of his group, the biggest group, he's the head of it, believe it's an inside job. We'll get William Rodriguez's take on that, because I never asked him this, even publicly or privately. What is it like? I mean, we've actually got a hero, a victim here. What is it like to see the killers using people like him? We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. William Rodriguez is our guest. We have links to his website up on Infowars.com right now. And we are carrying his incredible five-camera shoot presentation on what happened on 9/11 and what he went through up on Infowars.com. You can also get it from his website. We'll tell you about that later. I do want to try to jam in a few of your calls before he leaves us in the next half hour. The toll-free number is 1-800-259-9231. William, so much is happening. So much is going on. In the next segment, I'm going to play a few minutes of that clip where they misrepresent you continually and let you comment on that. But the point I raised before we hit the last break, to see how they expropriate the dead, expropriate the heroes, how they use the troops, how they use all of the courage of the American people, and people like yourself, and then totally ignore you. I mean, they gave you the big medals and awards and wanted you to run for Congress and had you at the White House. But you said, no, there were explosions. There were bombs. They'd offered you all this money. And you said, no, I'm going to tell the truth because, again, you're that type of person. What is it like to see them continue to use the victims and the heroes?
Sickening. Actually, it just makes you realize how low these people will go. These are the lowest form of life. And not only that, Alex, just open your eyes. This is going to be the big issue on this election. Why? Because you have this Giuliani guy trying to run for president when not even the firemen are supporting him. Not even the family members are supporting him. This guy created this whole illusion and persona of mysticism about 9/11, that he was this huge hero, when in reality most of the problems that happened during that day was due to his lack of support for the firemen during the time prior to 9/11. So you see, this election, upcoming election, will be marred constantly by the 9/11 issue. On top of that, you have the first responders dying constantly. You have 100 first responders that have died since 9/11. All the rescue dogs have died. You have close to 60,000 people sick because of the environmental effects, and they don't want to recognize that because, of course, it's going to be the biggest liability lawsuit ever presented to the city. So you have the mayor of New York, Mayor Bloomberg, a billionaire who really doesn't care about the families. He is calling the shots of everything that is being built on Ground Zero. Here you had yesterday, or the day before yesterday, Diane Horning, the president of Families for Proper Burial. And she has told you directly how her group has been in constant fight with the city of New York to try to get a respectful and dignified memorial, to have the ashen remains of the people that died on 9/11 be placed on Ground Zero. And the city don't want to do that. They actually use the ashen remains to fill potholes. And when we are being used, politicized constantly by not only the city and the state, but also by the federal and the government in general for agendas that we don't agree with, we feel sick. We feel that we have to open our mouth and take an action constantly against these people that are actually putting out a whole story that doesn't agree with what we have been going through, not only on 9/11, but after 9/11, 5 years after, we're still fighting for the truth. We're still fighting for respect and dignified representation for the victims and survivors that died, the people that died on that day. And we are not getting that.
Well,
we
agree.
We are actually throwing stones, and it's like, we are the enemy.
Well,
we
Willie,
are the enemy, but it's so convenient for them to use us for every single agenda to create this new police state all over the nation that it doesn't, it just makes you sick.
Well, it makes me sick, and I can't imagine seeing people die and saving so many people and being in the middle of it, and then, being in your position, it must be unbearable. Have you seen that video clip of that mother who had the daughter named Langer? And it's so powerful, it makes me cry when I see it, when she says, George Bush used my daughter, he used her for his war, he used her picture. Well, I'm taking it back. But, the way she says it, you can just hear the strength, the anger.
You have to meet Donna Marsh. Donna Marsh has suffered the same situation. She lost her daughter, and she's so against the government use of 9/11 and how the government have closed the doors for a real investigation. You should listen to this mother. It's not only Cindy Sheehan opening her mouth out there. You have the mothers of 9/11 trying to get the real truth out to the nation and to the world. You have Sally Regenhardt.
Stay there. We got a break, William. Stay there. We're going to come back and talk more about it.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonance. If the resonant frequency force making the glass vibrate is big enough, the size of the vibration will become so large that the glass shatters. Using a similar principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Simple step-by-step instructions using pictures are easy to follow. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. 1-866-885-6625.
Automakers in the oil industry are in a fuel fight. Automakers claim gasoline quality doesn't measure up. Is your vehicle performing like it should? Now there's SFR Green, performance technologies for a clean planet. SFR Green's Protecta reduces emissions and improves fuel economy, meeting automakers' new standards. So do something green. For a special offer with free shipping, go to greengasadditive.com. Or to locate a retailer, go to greengasadditive.com.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
Right now, 65% of Americans are overweight. Experts say by the year 2010, that number will increase to 75% and 35% will be obese. Because of these deadly statistics, Dr. Joel Wallach, host of Dead Doctors Don't Lie, has done extensive research and has found what he believes is the biggest breakthrough in weight loss in 50 years. It's called SlenderFX. SlenderFX opens the door for a healthy metabolism, permanent weight loss, reduction of low thyroid symptoms, and considerably increased energy by helping to balance your leptin levels. Finally, a weight loss breakthrough you can trust. Go to NoFatsNow.com and discover the amazing benefits of SlenderFX today. Take the 90-day challenge just in time for summer. If it's not everything we say and more, simply return the empty bottles and get your money back, guaranteed. Visit NoFatsNow.com or call 800-972-8211. That's 800-972-8211. And for a limited time only, find out how you can get a free bottle of SlenderFX by going to NoFatsNow.com.
We're on the goods team. We're wearing the white hats, and God is with us. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. God is with us, and we are going to win because of the courage of people like William Rodriguez and Charlie Sheen and Dr. Stephen Jones. I mean, folks, I can't keep track of all the big 9/11 developments that are taking place and happening. I mean, I go to these different sites, and I go look at the articles written by Marine Corps colonels, Air Force colonels, Army colonels, generals, all these new people. And, I mean, they're not just saying there's questions about 9/11. They're going, it's clear this is a black op run by the blah, blah, blah. And, I mean, and I'm just like, and all these pilots and fighter pilots. I mean, it's just like hundreds of them. I mean, folks, the dam broke, and I've gotten flooded by it. I can't even, I mean, I'm like in here, we got so many forces now, I don't even know how to interface with them or even know who's in the field against the New World Order. I mean, I'm telling you, don't wait for orders from headquarters. Make copies of DVDs, burn them, pass around video clips on the web, post all of our message boards, go wild, letters to the editor, calling to talk radio, go nuts, protest, march, get involved, never just start talking in the middle of grocery stores, put bumper stickers on your cars. Go to InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com, ladies and gentlemen, and get the new film by William Rodriguez, What Really Happened on 9/11. It's $15, and it's over an hour long. It's a five-camera shoot, and it's, I mean, I saw the presentation live, and everybody I talked to said this is the most powerful thing that's happened at this event. People were crying. It is a very well-done piece. And 9/11 William Rodriguez, 9/11 hero William Rodriguez has put out What Really Happened on 9/11, available at InfoWars.com via the safe, secure online shopping cart. You can also link through and get it right from his site if you would like, but that way you support both of us when you get it from InfoWars.com. William, tell folks about this film, and then we're going to play this clip of how they're spinning what you say. Tell folks about what's in the film and why they should get it.
Well, this is What Really Happened on 9/11. This was a presentation that we did for your symposium in California, and it was so powerful. Like you said, is where Charlie Sheen actually came over with Esai Morales, the famous actor from La Bamba, and they were so taken away because of not only the information, but the actual roller coaster. Their expression was, "I went with you, Willie, through the stairs. I got the anger, I got the laugh, I got the crying part, because I was experiencing the same emotions that you presented on that day." It's a very powerful presentation, and the money that we are raising for selling the DVD is going to be to actually produce the European tour that the film from the European tour that we just did in UK, and of course this is part of what we are doing, trying to get the information out. And I just want to add that one of the activism that we have created, and I want you to be part of this activism, is that we are calling up of volunteers all over the world that are listening to us right now. Volunteers. We need all kind of volunteers of any kind of experience. You have experience in Photoshop, you have experience in Premiere, you have experience in Final Cut Pro, any kind of experience, so you can actually be part of this spreading of the information. And we are, I already have like 900 volunteers from all over the world, so we want to expand at least to 10,000 so we can spread the information as fast as possible.
Well, that's what's happening. In fact, there's a video put together that's 3.5 minutes long that literally brought tears to my eyes last night, that was put together by some folks we're going to get on the show tomorrow. It's up on PrisonPlanet.com. That's how you can find the YouTube clip the best. And it is just so strong. And that's what's going to bring the New World Order down, is that there's all these activists, all these artists, all these people that really are our brothers and sisters. And, you know, I always have this subconscious feeling, or even a conscious feeling, but I never really think about it. I'm so busy. But I just last night, William, I thought about the fact of how blessed I am, even in all this adversity, and how honored I am and humbled I am to be involved in any way with all of these wonderful people in 9/11 Truth, and then the heroes and people like yourself, William. I mean, do you ever, despite all the evil and the sickeningness of it, on the other side, being part of this community, it really hit me last night that I was just thankful to God that I am one of the people that woke up, and then I know all these other great people, that I'm not out into some fancy car or fancy restaurants or golf courses or into petty garbage and, you know, just, you know what I mean, the fakeness of the world.
Yes, I agree with you. Actually, you know, so much fakeness. People see me, for example, I get attacked and constantly that I'm probably making a fortune of going around the world and speaking, and they don't even know that last year I only made less than $15,000 by going around the world and speaking. Less than $15,000. That's less than half of what I used to make as a janitor at the World Trade Center.
But then it's okay for Giuliani, who all the firefighters hate, the police all hate him, the families literally, like 90% hate him. That's all over New York News nationally. They love him. He's a hero. He has made over
$100,000. Yeah, $100,000 for speaking engagement.
And he's made over $50 million on consulting. Advance. Yeah, yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, $3.5 million for advance for his book plus royalties. $3 million to speak to the government of Mexico. And not counting the salary that he gets from Giuliani Partners and the money, $280,000, that he gets from managing the Fireman's Fund. So you have here a man that is profiting from 9/11 more than the whole community of 9/11 put together. Put together, think about it.
Well, that's how they operate, though. The very people that carried out the attacks, that are fat on the blood of our children and women and people that died in there, these pigs, and then we're literally trying to get funds to fight and move forward and do a better job so we can, you know, keep
them. We need the people to open their eyes. And that's why, Alex, I'm fighting back. I'm fighting back. I'm putting my gloves on, and I'm fighting back as much as I can. If somebody accuse me of something, I put them on. Put them on, I will. If I sue the president to sue somebody else that cannot validate what they're saying, I'll sue them as well. Because we need to fight back. We need to take these people, and as electrified they are, because they are totally electrified, they're like nonstop attacking us. We have to do the same thing back to them. I will be tomorrow, as a matter of fact, flying to Chicago, because on Saturday I will be doing a free presentation in Ann Arbor to defend Kevin Barrett, who was actually attacked by a victim of 9/11 brought in by the Youth Republican Union in his own school. You see, they are going crazy, and they're trying to put everybody against each other. But I'm going there to protect them and to
Well, it's not going to work, and everybody needs to get William Rodriguez, What Really Happened, on 9/11 for $15 at Infowars.com.
And I will sign each one of them. I will sign each one of them.
That's right. In fact, these are all signed that you've gotten to us, and it is, again, those are signed. We forgot to make that point. And William, also give them your website.
is 911keymaster.com or william911.com. It's the same website, william911.com.
Now, before we play this audio clip and then get your analysis of that, how they misrepresent you continually, and then we'll talk to Alex, Mark, and Dan, and Linda, and a few others, how important is it for people to support Rosie O'Donnell? I mean, what she's, and it's not about her personally, even though we should support her, and I appreciate what she's doing and admire her courage. If they're able, as you said, to set the precedent by demonizing her and by shutting her down, then it's going to scare others from going public, and these murderers
Correct.
Will be able to carry out more attacks. Go to PrisonPlanet.com, go to InfoWars.com, go to the website we've put up, and sign the petition and spread the word about that website. William?
I agree with you 100%. We have to protect her. We have to come out and open our mouth. They are trying to demonize her. They are trying to criminalize her. We have to take a stand and say no more. We support her. We want her to speak freely. It's a matter of a free speech, even if you don't agree with her. You see, even if you don't agree with her, we have to defend her. But I agree with her 100%. You see? I cannot comment too much, because we work in things behind the whole media thing. But
I really wish we could tell people.
Yeah, we'll wait for that. But we are actually calling for people to support her as much as they can. And if they put a poll, just flood the poll. Flood the poll to support her, please.
Oh, that was the other point I forgot to mention. There's an ABC poll running neck and neck with her, and it's literally dead heat. You know, I mean, we're talking nose margins on who's going to win this poll, if people agree with Rosie or they agree with O'Reilly the Demon. It's just unbelievable.
Well, they have nowhere to go, and that's why they are fighting, because they see their status quo being changed.
Well, are you hearing them more and more say, we need to be arrested, we need to be killed? They're not just saying that about Rosie. I mean, they're saying, we are Al-Qaeda, William.
But you see, they don't face me. I want them to face me. They don't face me. They are afraid to put me on the show. I want to be on the show. I'm ready. Remember what happened last time, that they wanted to attack Charlie, and they called me, they sent a car to my house. To my house. And when I said, no, I support Charlie, they took the car away. They said, oh, no.
Yeah, they've done stuff like that to me before. They said they want me to, we want to hear your view. And then when you're 5 minutes away, they go, in the limo, they go, well, this is what we want you to say. And when you won't, they go, oh, just got a call. They don't want you. But let me expand on that, because this is important. When they wanted me to go on Fox News on a tape show with Mancow, and I was really burnt out at the time. I was working all the time, still doing that, but I didn't want to fly. I'd just been to New York, and I'd gotten the flu while I was there. Thank God I didn't get sick till the flight back. And, I mean, that was, like, the worst flu I ever had. And I just, like, I don't want to go back to New York. It's kind of like you got a hangover. You don't want to drink that drink again. And I said, well, send Kevin Smith. He, by the way, did a great job. But they kept saying, well, we want somebody, who can talk about this. And I said, why don't you have William Rodriguez on, remember? And then we called you, but you had to go somewhere. And then they said, doesn't matter. We don't even want him anyways. They don't want you on there.
You see? And the thing is that also, if they ask me to be on a show, it's going to be a recorded show. And I always say, no, if you want me, I want to be live, because I don't want to be edited because of the experience that you're actually going to play now. But the problem is that, I want to be confronted with argumentation and debate with people that understand what I went through that day. I was there. They weren't. So they have no argument with me. And since I don't fit their format, they will take me out. They won't put me on.
Absolutely. Let's play part of this clip and then go to some calls. This is, now tell folks, William, which particular TV show this is.
This is the news for the ABC News here in New York, and that was the profile that they did for 9/11 5-year ceremony, presenting me as one of the big heroes of 9/11.
But then not letting what you had to say show up on the tape, they edited it to misrepresent that the plane caused the explosion. Here's the clip.
All right.
He stays with you forever. He's imprinted.
Rodriguez worked at the North Tower. He was a custodian responsible for cleaning the stairwell. On the morning of 9/11, he was in the basement.
We hear, boom, an explosion so loud that puts us upwards on the air. And we started screaming. We didn't know what it was.
It was the first hijacked plane that hit the tower.
We call it the Key of Hope.
Rodriguez had one of only five master keys.
Back that up about 20 seconds to where he says it was an explosion, it pushed us upwards, and then he went on to say we believe it was an explosion in the basement. Nope, they cut that and say it was the plane, as if he, the eyewitness, was saying that. William, what did you say at the point where they cut?
I said, we didn't know what it was, and the first thing that came to my mind is that one of the generators blew up on the basement. It sounded like a bomb, and when I went to verbalize it, we heard the impact of the plane all the way on the top. They caught all of that, and they put the plane on the top right away.
Now, again, to be clear, then you saw people coming up out of the basement with their faces and hands and skin hanging off like zombies, out of some horror movie, which proving it was down there. We know there was an big explosion. So, see, and the firefighters and police say this, too. Again, play the editing. This is Big Brother, ladies and gentlemen.
On the morning of 9/11, he was in the basement.
We hear, boom, an explosion so loud that pushed us upwards on the air. And we started screaming. We didn't know what it was.
It was the first hijacked plane that hit the tower.
We call it the Key of Hope.
Rodriguez had one of only five.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, realize what's happening now. ABC's own Rosie O'Donnell with their top-rated morning show, 30 million viewers to O'Reilly's 2.5 million, okay? That's the numbers we're talking about. That's why they're so jealous. Now, understand, ladies and gentlemen, that I can't get into it. William can't get into it. Jones, admitted on air, so I can talk about that Rosie's people told him that they have to get it approved. We'll just leave it at that. So they're calling for censorship. It's already going on. They got a big problem on their hands because if this chain reactions, which it's starting to do, it's over, folks. 9/11's going to fall. Their main terror tactic that they use to set up the police state and the New World Order and the demonization of America worldwide, because that's what they're doing with all this. You know, domestically, we think they're the good guys. Internationally, everybody knows the truth. My God, William, this is incredible. We're on the edge of one of the greatest things in history. We can win this right now.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we're trying to do. We are fighting back. We need to fight back. Please, people, listen to the story. If you never heard my story, please. I talk about explosions in the building before the plane hit the tower. And after the plane hit the tower, as I went up the stairwells with the firemen following me, behind me, as I went up opening doors and saving people, I heard explosions as I went up as well. And they don't want to hear this. They don't want to talk about this. I have the opportunity. I wanted to have the chance to say hello to Professor Jones, but he had to go on your show, to actually have a presentation with him for the first time on stage with the father of depleted uranium, Dr. Doc Rocky. And all three of us shared the stage for the first time in Irvine, California. And I was blown away because of the data that they presented there. And these are the experts. And the only question that I had, listen, I was a janitor. I don't understand anything about the scientific process. All I want to know is that this information validates my story. And they came out at the same time, I unison, and said, not only it proves your story, but it proves that explosives were used on the towers on 9/11.
Absolutely. It is so important, folks. Get the new video, What Really Happened on 9/11, by William Rodriguez. 9/11 hero William Rodriguez tells his story in this powerful and emotional DVD produced by William Rodriguez himself. The 9/11 hero presents his incredible story of bravery and the subsequent horrors and honors and accolades he turned his back on in the search for the real truth of what happened that fateful day.
I will be giving you last Sunday in Puerto Rico was a television special presented by Carmen Jovet, the top journalist over there. It has a show like 60 minutes, and it was seen by 3 million people. They are sending me the video. I will give you this video so you can post it, where you can see, even though it's in Spanish, that they presented my story unedited.
Well, that's the amazing thing is, folks, if you think the official story is imploding domestically, internationally, there's no going back. They've already lost. We are going to win. 9/11 Truth's the key, the key, the key. We're back live, ladies and gentlemen. Final segment, William Rodriguez. I know we got loaded phone lines here. Let's try to jam some of them in. Alex in British Columbia, you're on the air with William Rodriguez. Go ahead.
Mr. Jones and Mr. Rodriguez, how's it going?
Thank you. Thank you for calling.
I just wanted to say I'm calling from Vancouver, British Columbia, and the ship with a P. The ship is going to hit the fan this summer.
I'm going to let you go. I appreciate your call. Let's go ahead and talk to Dan. Dan, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, how are you?
Nice. Good. Go ahead.
I have a quick announcement that William mentioned earlier. There's going to be a 9/11 Truth event in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Yes, in, it's going to be in Ann Arbor, Michigan at Michigan League, 9/11 North University.
Right. 2 to 5 p.m.
2 to 5, that is correct.
Right.
That is Saturday, yes. And there's 500 people. It's free, 500-seater, totally free. So bring as many people as you want.
Yeah, man, well, I just, you know, I want to say, like, you've been a real inspiration to me. Alex, it's good to talk to you, and, yeah, keep it up, man. All right, take care.
Thank you. I appreciate your call,
Dan. Thank you. And that's important. Anybody that wants to put together an event, we will go over there and we'll speak. It has to be a big event, meaning at least 150 to 250 people or more to make it feasible to actually make the trip. But we will do it. If you can put it together, one of the ideas that we give to the activists is that we can do a faith tour, because we can go to churches that has probably a congregation of 200 people, and it makes it easier because they already have the venue.
Linda, where are you calling us from today, Linda?
I'm calling you from Chicago.
Welcome.
Thank you. It's an honor. I wanted to bring up a piece of the 911 puzzle that was exposed by Christopher Bolin, who's actually from Hoffman Estates in this area. He was beaten up about 6 months ago on his front lawn. He made some phone calls that day to the SEC and the U.S. Attorney's Office asking how this Jacob, also known as Kobe Alexander, was able to wire $60 million to his account in Israel and flee New York without anybody stopping him.
Sure, I'm familiar with
thank
the case.
You, thank you for the information. But anyway, just doubting a lot of the work that Christopher Bolin have done, because he even wrote an article attacking me.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm not going to say, yeah, ma'am, I appreciate your call. You know, Willie's a good guy. All he does is help people. That's all I do. The things, the people he traffics with, and I interviewed the guy. I've never been anything but nice. The things that have been said about me, by his
confederates. I mean, if I open my mouth about these people and the information that I have against them, they will be totally destroyed. Their reputation will be on the floor. But I'm not that kind of guy.
Yeah, we're not going to do it. I mean, no, the thing is that it's unbelievable the type of things that have been said about me for no reason. I mean, folks, the worst things you can say, and I did just sue somebody over something, but we fixed that. I've sued people three other times, and I tell you, if I wasn't fighting this New World Order so hard, I'd be suing them up one side and down the other right now. Not him, but his confederates and the thing he writes for. But just too bad for him. I was against it when he got arrested, though, and I said it was wrong. For that, I was savagely attacked. It's like trying.
I may go as a viewer on the court case just to give my 2 cents if it's needed.
Well, let me just say this. That's a side issue. I'm not going to give the operatives any attention. The point is, let's support Rosie O'Donnell with a petition online at Infowars.com right now. Get over there, sign it. William, God bless you, my friend.
God bless you. William911.com.